answers. I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Okay, you hiding under the bed yet after hour number two? Wow. Thanks to Joseph Meyer for joining us, and he may not have told me and some of you what you wanted to hear, but he tells it like it is. Anyway, welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And although we have gone through the advertising with regard to what Joe talked about, I'm going to bring it up again. Steve Quayle, and you heard 10% silver, 10% gold of your portfolio. And now if you're struggling to go month to month, this should go in one ear and out the other. And Steve would be the first one to tell you that when you call him. But if you do have a lot of cash on hand or in the bank, you need to think about converting a good portion of it into gold and silver. Call Steve tomorrow and have this discussion, 406-586-4842. And again, you heard Joe Meyer mention about, well, you better have food, better have water. We can help you with the food. Go to pneumonia.com/Hodges. Best prices, best tasting, and best, really best everything. I mean, I love Pneumonia, and people say, why do you so unashamedly support them? Because they're good. They're fair. They care about people. They're on a mission to save America. They know about the FEMA studies that say that most of us have 3 days of food. They're trying to change that paradigm so we're not subject to the whims of dictators in charge at a time of crisis. That's why. And then finally, for all your general prepping needs, whether it's water purification, whether it's night vision, communications, doesn't matter what it is. For prepping, Bob Griswold has it, 800-627-3809, 800-627-3809. And then, of course, you're not going to get your scripts. I mentioned this in the first hour. You know, Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. He's nursed Doug Hagman back to health through a crisis. He's done the same with me. He kept me off the operating table with a knee injury. And you're not going to get your scripts, so you better go natural. And I'm telling you right now, every American needs to get away from the pharmaceuticals as much as they can and go all natural. We have the best critical health care system in the world, and we have about the crappiest when it comes to health maintenance. And that's why I really recommend Health Masters. Go to healthmasters.com. Take 5% off your order. Ted's doing that for our listeners because he and I are such good friends, and he comes on this show all the time, as you know. So 5% off, healthmasters.com. Coupon code Dave, number 5. That's Dave 5. Well, our guest this hour is the product of what Doug and I were talking about last night. We were joking, said mega media merger. That felt good for our egos to say that. But we are, in part, combining some of the resources of the Common Sense Show and some of the resources of the Hagman & Hagman Report, which really, I have to confess, it's my favorite show. But anyway, it's just an awesome, awesome show. Great guests, great insight. And we're hoping that this marriage is going to really benefit our listeners, because we know we live in perilous times. And we have little time, we think, to help people get prepared and get ready. So I was speaking to Doug, and we were kicking around ideas, and he said, you know, Joe and I would be happy to come on your show, and we can combine forces for part of your show, and that's what we're going to be doing. So occasionally you'll hear Joe, and occasionally you'll hear Doug, and sometimes if things are really heated up, we'll have Doug and Joe, or Joe and Doug. And I really am so excited about this, Joe, as I bring you in and welcome you to the show. I wished more organizations did this, because the time is so short. People need to hear unity from the people they trust to get the news. What's your reaction to that?
First of all, I want to thank you for having me on and for the great introduction. And you're absolutely right. There does need to be unity. There does need to be a common thread of trust amongst people and who they listen to and depend on for their news and information. And the people that take the responsibility of being journalists and present the news need to do so as truthful as possible, first of all, first and foremost. And secondly, they need to do so with as at least bias as possible, or at least explain, you know, if they are biased, why they have an opinion the way they do. And unfortunately, in the mainstream media, the press, the print, and what we see, especially during this election cycle, is, you know, the huge distrust in media, even from recent polls saying as much, media trust at an all-time low. But the media bias that we see against, you know, Donald Trump and his presidential candidacy versus the protection the media gives Hillary Clinton is just off the charts, and most people I talk to agree that, you know, they've never seen anything like it any time in the history of media, not to this degree.
I agree with you. They've taken off the gloves. They don't even follow a pretense of trying to be objective. I mean, just look at the debate. We can say a lot about the debate, but one thing that was noticeable, Hillary Clinton didn't get corrected or interrupted more than once, and it was only on the email issue that she skated over. Donald Trump was interrupted by good old Lester the Molester 41 times.
Yeah, and the fact checking, as they call it, remains to be seen when it comes to Hillary Clinton. And there was actually a poll done on that recently where the people said only 28% believed the journalists were doing the actual fact checking and doing it honestly. But, you know, even the Pope, this is a strange election, because not only have foreign governmental leaders and parties weighed in on the American election, mostly saying Trump will be dangerous, he's unfit to be president, but we actually have the Pope weighing in on the election in a way, not really endorsing a candidate, but, you know, saying what he believes Americans should do during this time. And also, I see here today, he is called Kane, a faithful Catholic, who has a terrible record. He actually was just in the press for talking about how homosexuality and the acceptance of such relates to the book of Genesis and creation.
Well, it's not just Cain. Of course, how appropriate.
No.
Cain from the Bible, you know. Anyway, the Pope himself, and this is not a comment against Catholics, please spare your emails. You know, my sister and her family are Catholics. They were raised Catholics. I've been to Mass more times than I can count. It's not about being Catholic. It's about this Pope who's an imposter. He has created the concept, Joe, of Chrislam, that all religions are created equal, no difference between Islam and their 72 versions and the return of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what we see, you know, Chrislam, the interfaith movement, the gathering of all faiths under the same banner or umbrella, and this is being done through the Catholic Church. And when you say, you know, you're not Catholic bashing, you're not bashing the Catholic religion, because what they're doing is perverting the true Catholic religion, first of all. And what, you know, the people who are in charge, it's kind of like what we see with our governments. You know, so many Americans, you'll see bashing their government, per se. But it's the decisions our governments are making that are against the people. And we see it so often. The government is there, and it's there for the people, and it has protections against government. But for some strange reason, we've allowed it, as a republic, we've allowed the leaders to tell us it's a democracy, you know, and turn this into a bureaucratization where they have expanded government to a degree where it manages the people, and it should be the other way around. And now that we're in this junction, we have the Federal Reserve, all these financial problems, both domestic and international, as Deutsche Bank is letting go of at least 1,000 people, and this is just the latest bad news, round of bad news for that bank itself. But here domestically, the Fed's now talking about actually buying and investing in the stock market. And you talk about, a merger or strange marriages, strange bedfellows, if you will, and I'd say illegal bedfellows. For them to be doing this or even considering doing this, it should be illegal. But we got all these problems going
on. I have a real problem with it. Yeah, I agree. The Fed has spent decades pretending to masquerade as a government institution, and at best, they're a quasi government institution. It's a private corporation with a government mandate. That's all they are. And yet here they want to play both sides of the fence. On one hand, hey, we speak for the government in all matters of finance. And on the other hand, they want to go out and compete with the average person that they're supposed to be serving.
Absolutely. And you just said it, it's been masquerading as a federal agency. We know that it is nothing resembling a federal agency. It is an international organization, independently run, independently owned, outside of the controls of the U.S. government. That even the treasurer, the Department of Treasury, and the treasurer of the United States doesn't even get paid by the United States government. It gets paid through the international banking system. And you know, we've seen them create, what they've done is throughout the years, remove the gold from the gold standard, from the dollar, which gave the dollar its value. Then we have seen it pump trillions. I mean, some people say it's in the quadrillions, the derivative debts, but they've pumped trillions of dollars of, printed trillions of dollars of money, backed by nothing. But once they took the gold away, the currency's backing is basically the oil and the credit and faith of the United States people and their money. But now the money's backed by nothing, and they're printing it off these printing presses. It's backed by nothing, causing inflation, massive inflation. But they hide it through the energy prices and the food prices by not using that to calculate inflation. And now they're running into a wall.
Joe, let me hold you right there just for a moment. Because I find a lot of people don't know this. When they hear inflation rate, they think it's the sum total of everything, you know, and we get an average aggregate figure. And it's not true. You really went over that quickly here. You're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that when the government calculates inflation, they don't count the price of food or the price of gas. Like, we don't have to drive to work and we don't have to eat.
Yeah, the price of food and the price of energy. And if I'm correct, that includes, you know, I would imagine home heating too, natural gas as well. I could be wrong there, but either way, just the price of gasoline to drive yourself to and from work and to get yourself to where you need to go, and especially the price of food, gas has gone in a fluctuation mode the last, 15 years, and has really been on the increase, and then we've seen a decrease as of late, the last 5-6 years. But food has been steadily rising, and different markets in the food industry continue to rise heavily, and that we see no relief there. And those are not calculated when people are calculating inflation, how much the U.S. dollar has inflated. And many economists even say that the dollar has lost 98 to 99% of its value since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was implemented.
Where'd that money go?
Good question. It went, well, what they did was they siphoned the real wealth out of the country, that being the commodities and the taxation of labor, and they sucked the wealth out of the country that way, and it went into private, these 1% of the 1%, if you will, the powers that be, the satanic elite, and they used it to prop up governments, run black project operations, consolidate wealth, and create this new world order. And they are continuing to use the money, as you see George Soros paying the latest round, $500 million to continue the migrant crisis into Europe, as, you know, a mayor in Germany was assaulted after embracing a pro-migration state. stance, taking a program migration stance in Germany. Angela Merkel, we see the, they're saying the populist movement, which spun Brexit, and Angela Merkel's been taking a huge hit in the polls. Her party's actually in third due to her policy of accepting over 1 million Muslim immigrants that have done nothing but seemingly cause trouble, sexual violence and otherwise, in these countries that they continue to migrate to, terror attacks being number one among those. And it seems that the plan for pushing the world into a period of instability through terrorism and financial manipulation is, you know, they're at their peak right now, and it's only going to continue to get worse. And as the U.S. sees with this election cycle, neither side's going to be happy with the result. Not that there are many Hillary supporters out there, but there are the appearance, there is the appearance of that. I don't see them letting Trump in as president. And the people that do dislike him, they already are comparing him to Hitler. And he has, in my opinion, you know, done nothing except in this election cycle, supported Christianity, supported anti-abortion measures, and supports restoring this country to a moral and lawful nation again.
Man, oh man, could you be more a little grim? I mean, this, you just covered the full meal deal there from the social political side. That this is, it's almost, because I was telling our guest last hour, Joseph Meyer, economist, it's hard to know, it's hard to maintain your focus, one thing. It's hard to know what to focus on, because you just rattled off about five or six things there that are very, very serious. And in fact, Let me bounce this off.
We haven't even hit the international conflict and the potential for those yet. I was just kind of giving a brief overview of everything we see going on in our country as I was waiting to come on the show, thinking of what would be a good thing to talk about. And, you know, I thought just if we kind of went over as much as we could of what's going on, it would really paint a picture of where we should go from here versus where we are going.
Well, let me give you something that last hour's guest, Joseph Meyer, the economist, said. He expects oil prices to soon double in price again. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, we saw the pipeline that broke or ruptured that ran between Houston and Texas, servicing 50 million Americans roughly, mostly in the eastern and southeastern parts of the United States. And we saw the runs on the gas stations there. It was, I'm not sure if it's still ongoing. I don't believe it is. And if it has, it's still ongoing, it's minimized. But you saw increases of 60 cents, 90 cents, you know, limits to $20 per person per transaction. And you see these different hiccups. And a few months back, it was shipping containers not making it over here on time, and the lower demand of international oil versus the U.S., you know, being able to produce their own oil, you see fluctuations in the gas prices. And we've seen a relief, as I've said, you know, 2006, 2007, they were about $5 a gallon. And that drives the prices of other things like food and other goods and that need to be shipped around. That those high prices drives the prices of those goods up. But I'm not sure where we're going to see gas. We see what's happening with Saudi Arabia. There's speculation that because the Senate overrode the president's veto of the 9/11 bill of families, victims of 9/11, being able to sue Saudi Arabia, you know, there's talk that they are going to, you know, start pulling back what the U.S. is allowed to buy from their oil reserves, and they're talking about price changes and even pulling currency out of the treasuries that they hold, which is in the billions, if not trillions, of dollars. So they're, I mean, and with the threat of international wars and conflicts continuing and new ones, there's always the threat of the prices going to increase.
Well, that's why I think if we can see oil prices double, it'll be the catalyst for hyperinflation combined with other things. What's your take on Deutsche Bank? How close are they to going? Some people think they already are. What do you think?
Well, we've seen them in the news a lot, and I mentioned earlier that it's just come out that they're going to be firing or laying off 1,000 workers. We've seen that they failed financial stress tests that have been run on their strength as of late, and there is a lot of concern with this bank, and we know that this is an indicator. Some of the more prominent economists we used to have on our show and still come on our show have always said, you know, when you see Germany go, the dollar is right behind. And, you know, Germany is the strength of the European financial system. So with the instability there, and I don't know how much of the instability is due to the migrant crisis, but in your housing and feeding over a million immigrants, illegal immigrants who were brought in there and I guess made legal, that's going to put stresses on your market. When your banks are dealing in toxic derivatives instead of, you know, banking in stable financial transactions, and when your customers are unable to buy their get their gold out of the banks. There were customers who were going to Deutsche Bank trying to redeem their gold who were being turned away last week as well. All these indicators show that there's a very weak area right now, especially for the European Union, and that it is being compared to Lehman Brothers-like risk that we could see the fallout, you know, be huge. And they're talking not about, I think, and you mentioned this on our show, about not government bailing out the banks, but the banks having bail-ins, keeping customer deposits to cover their losses if this does go bad.
Amen to what you just said, because there will be bail-ins. And the reason I say that, Joe, they had to have known when they had the G20 conference in Brisbane, and they said, you know, you guys who put your money in the bank, you're no longer owners of that money, you're unsecured creditors, and then they changed the order of reimbursement. Do you remember that? And they put the credit swap crowd in front of the line. Remember that?
Yep, absolutely. And that turned the customers, basically into investors. And you are no longer secured in your deposits the way you once were. And, you know, there's talk of negative interest rates, and I'm one of those people out there who don't really understand negative interest rates, except you pay to keep your money in a bank. You know, there used to be a time, and I'm 33 years old, and I barely remember a time when you would put money into a savings account, and you would receive a return based on how much you had in there, and based on what the percentage of interest rate was. So you had $10,000 in the bank for a year, you know, with a 2% interest rate, you would earn that 2% cash at the end of the year if you had the 10 grand in there the whole year.
You're too low. Too low. When I was in college, it was 5.25%.
See what I mean? I mean, I don't even remember a time when interest rates made, you know, was even high enough to make people money, unless you had, you know, millions and millions of dollars in there. But yeah, now you're looking at the opposite, where, you know, you put $100 in the bank, and the bank say it's a 2% interest rate that they impose, not that they you get from the bank, that you pay to the bank. You're paying $2 for every $100 you put into the bank. So as soon as you put your $100 in the bank, you have $98 in there. They just take $2 for the privilege of you depositing money. And that's backwards. If it's ever, you know, obviously you just said when you were coming up, the interest rates are 5.5%. You used to get money for keeping money in a savings account. Now you're going to be having to pay money to keep your money in a savings account, which negates the whole purpose of what a savings account is there for.
Well, the word savings means they're saving their money and you're spending your money now. It's just flipped who's got the savings. They own your money when you put it in the bank. You know, my wife and I went into B of A, oh gosh, a month ago or so, and there was an issue with a credit, a safety deposit box that we hadn't used in years, and we were going in to straighten that out. And my wife asked a question, and she said something about money and, oh, that's okay, we can just take it out and move it. And I said, not if it's over $10,000, honey. And then the bank officer looked at me and I said, well, don't you own our money once we put it in? And if we take out $10,000 more and we're going to get looked at by the IRS? He goes, who the hell are you? That's what they said to me. Who the hell are you? So the second bad encounter I had. The other one had really tried to take $1,500 out, and they harassed the heck out of me. And I just said, oh, I just have a talk show host, and I'm a nobody who just interviews economists and know everything about this crap. And you should have seen the eyes. But even the people in the bank now know that they own our money. That was my takeaway, Joe, from that whole event. Is this was a mid-level executive position, like a mid-level VP. But they knew. They knew what I knew. And I'm thinking, wow, but the public doesn't know. I told someone that the other day, Joe, that you know they own your money when you put it in there. You're full of crap, Hodges. Okay, well, I guess one day you may find out. Negative interest rates, Joe, that's amazing. It's like a storage locker now. A bank is your storage locker. It's no longer a bank.
No, that's true. I mean, it's just like a safety deposit box. You pay a monthly fee to put whatever valuables, goods, papers that you want into a safety deposit box and secured by a bank. And I guess that's going to now apply to your money. You know, most people, my dad calls it the stupidity tax when people pay overdraft charges on their checking account. Now, you know, I guess the... they're not even going to have to, you know, the banks won't be able to not only make money from, you know, taking advantage of people who overdraft their account and ATM fees, but just for the privilege of using the bank, you're going to be paying money. It's not like when they used to at least give you a free toaster even anymore. Now they're going to, you know, come bank with us. We'll only take, you know, a half a percent. And this is what we're going to start to be seeing is banking competition in this country.
Well, they'll be taking our toaster instead of giving us one.
Yeah.
it's just incredible how bad this is. But, and if people think it's going to get worse, it's going to get better, they're kidding themselves. Joe, I was reading some stuff the other day that I wasn't supposed to see, and I got to be really careful. Because someone on the inside gave it to me, and I don't want to get them in trouble. And so I can't say the institution, but I think it's Universal. It's one of the major banks. And there were proposals they were discussing. Charging you money to talk to a teller. Hell, I thought only lawyers did that. Have you heard this stuff talking? Okay, let me go through the list, okay? I have it right here. Here we pull it up here, okay? And I, by the way, I wasn't allowed to photograph the document. I was allowed to take notes. So trying to read my own handwriting here, which is a challenge. Charging you money to talk to a teller. A fee to withdraw money from the ATM. What used to be free in terms of savings to checking coverage, like if you overwrite your checking account, you have automatic rollover. A $25 fee every time you do that. And I have a list here of about 11 things that they're going to do. I mean, pretty soon they're just going to be charging admission for the privilege of walking in the door of the bank. They didn't say that here, but I mean, I can see where this is going. You talk to a bank officer, they tack on a consultation fee. This is something else. Have you heard of these?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well,
and I would
they're talking
it
about
to
them.
Believe. Americans would continue to bank at institutions that, you know, are so greedy and to the point where, you know, they become so meticulous and petty that they're charging you for regular customer service. I mean, where does customer service end and, you know, I don't know what you even call it.
They are the instruments of the elite. And we are the indentured servants. That's what I call it.
Very much so. Yeah.
That's what I call it. Hey, I want to take a break just for a second because your dad has a terrific book out there, and I want to promote that book more than we have. I have an advertisement for it on my webpage about middle right side. But talk about the book just for a minute, if you could.
My dad wrote a fantastic, I say fantastic. The story isn't so fantastic, but it's such a well-written book. My father has a tremendous gift for writing, and it's a book about a murder investigation, a true-life murder investigation that my father was actually not only a part of, but helped solve, and it was a case of a family member of his, an uncle, and an uncle who was brutally murdered, and the police, looked into it and didn't make much headway, and my father, working as a private investigator, him and his partner stepped in and, did the investigation, but what they uncovered was, a world of, if you've heard the commercial, satanic ritual abuse, evil, and just all-encompassing type evil. And the story is the names and some things have been changed, obviously, for the purpose of writing the book, but it's basically just a cold case murder mystery that evolves into dark underbelly of the satanic elite and the ritual abuse that comes with that. And, this is stuff that we see at the top levels of, we'll say, the Vatican. We've seen the scandals there. Hollywood. We've heard the horror stories about the abuse there. We see things like the Bohemian Grove Club and Skull and Bones, these organizations. Well, they all promote this culture of death and murder, and it's influenced by this, dark, evil, demonic side. And the Bible talks about this. And the book not only gets into the murder investigation, but it also gets into the underbelly of that evil and ritual abuse, and it's titled Stained by Blood. It's a fantastic book.
Yeah, people can get a copy. I'll tell it on my end. You can tell it on your end. They just go to my website, and you'll see it, Stained by Blood. Doug Hagman has this picture there. Click that on, and you'll go right to the order page, and I highly recommend it. Joe, is there another way to order?
Yeah, you can go to stainedbyblood.com. You can go to Amazon, just search Stained by Blood. And or I'm sure if you go to our website, Hagman Report, it's there, hagmanandhagman.com. You can find a link to it there. And just like I said, search it on Amazon.
Okay, now I'd like to kind of shift gears a little bit here and talk about what has been the emphasis of the Hagman and Hagman Report, let's say, the last week to 10 days.
Oh, goodness. It's been a grind these last 10 days, and just personally. First, my wife, at the end of last week, got the flu, and then obviously I caught it. And I missed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's shows of this last week. And that's the first time I've had a flu that bad in years, it just put me down. But we've had some fantastic guests on that, and we've been kind of guest heavy, I guess you'd say, the last few weeks. But from Jonathan Kahn to Steve Quayle, Pastor Langford, and, so many others that we've had on, Dr. Michael Heiser, he's a guy we just had on for the first time. We talk about such a wide range of, from Bible, biblical prophecy to current events, and everything in between there. Anthony Patch has been on talking about CERN. There's just so many. L.A. Marzulli, he has the On the Trail of the Nephilim series. Dr. Ted Breuer, common guest and show host here on Global Star.
Who would that be?
What's that?
That was a bad joke, sorry. I said who?
Ted Breuer. Yeah.
Ted Breuer,
and
he's no introduction on this show.
Dr. Michael Lake, the author of the Shinar Directive. Fantastic guests, lots of scholars, authors, and radio show hosts in there. So we have a good mix, and we have a lot of interesting guests coming up. And one person we just had on the same day you came on, which was Thursday, you were on in the second hour. Rick Wiles came on hour one, and that was a treat having him on for the first time on our radio program. My dad's been a guest on his program, True News, several times, but it was a blessing having him on and being able to interview him on our show.
Yeah, he does just a great, great job. We need to get him on here as well. So when you add the sum total up of what you've been looking at, you know, you and your father, in regard to the work that you do related to your show, what stands out as number one? What's the biggest issue right now to the Hagmans?
You know, I guess the biggest issue has been and will continue to be, how do we best help people and point them in the right direction, first to get their soul saved, to turn to Jesus and get their soul saved, and second to get their spirit and their mind and families prepared for what is coming, or at least to entertain these ideas and, you know, face them head on and make the decision. Because we know that life is very short, and we, many people contemplate why we're here. Both my father and I personally, we are Christians, and we believe in Jesus, and we believe that he died for our sins, and that first and foremost, the importance for us here on this earth is for our souls to be saved. And, you know, that we talk to people and hear from people like Steve Quayle, who say there's no political solutions for spiritual problems. And that's very correct. And if anybody needs a place to start, that's exactly where you should start, is in your spiritual life, with, you know, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And from there, you try to help other people see the evil that's going on in the world that's being called good, and people are falling into this deception, trying to, I don't know how to properly term this, trying to bridge the gap for people, connect the dots, try to show them what you see as what's being done out there, especially, you know, there's so much that's evil today that's being promoted and called good, so much so that they've even removed, you know, you can't even bring the Bible to school anymore. You can't pray even in school, or if you're on the football team, you can't have, you can't do anything religious in the army, in the public, or in schools.
Could you bring the Quran to school?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm probably going to be mandatory here sooner than later, but it's been the opposite when it comes to Christianity.
Yeah, what you're saying is it's not about religious freedom, it's about Christian persecution.
Yes, and oppression. And thankfully, thank the Lord, in this country we have not seen the persecution. In the Middle East, what you see in Syria, in Iraq, what you see in China, where they behead people for believing in Jesus, set people on fire, you know, ask them to submit or die. That's the persecution, and that's the persecution that's been in the Bible since before the time of Jesus, and especially after the time of Jesus, and what's talked about is going to continue to happen until his return. And so it's to be expected. But one thing we do have here in America is to be thankful for, that we are not being persecuted as of yet. And while we have this time, we need to redeem the time. And we need to do so by preparing the hearts and minds of each and every individual for what's going to happen. And the sooner the population understands that, you know, there are tough times ahead, we're all going to have to put aside any selfish interests and work together for the purpose of unity, the easier things will be. But unfortunately, we're difficult people. We're stubborn. We're hard-headed. And we always seem to learn the hard way. And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, we're going to be learning the hard way. And there's going to be much more casualties happen than need to happen in the first place.
What kinds of things are the Hagmans doing to get ready for what's coming?
Well, we're continuing to network and talk with people. You know, personally, preparation-wise, to be honest, I am not taking any financial measures to be prepared. And I know that sounds bad. My dad probably won't throw a book at me right now. You know, it's hard enough just to get by. Food-wise and, you know, preparation-wise, we do, my dad does more than I do, but I do my fair share, you know, for my household. And most importantly, I got to go back to the spiritual. You know, I think more importantly than worrying about having food, for me at least, is to make sure that I know my scriptures and that both my wife and I have a good relationship with the Lord, and that comes first and foremost every day. And then, you know, but obviously food is essential. But as far as what's on my list, you know, ABC, spiritual preparations come first. The food and water come second. And we have a plan of action as a family of what we need to do if things go bad, how to get together, where to get together. But beyond that, we're just going to rely on the Lord, and, you know, take what provisions we have acquired and do have.
Well, spiritual preparation. I'll say this, and people are going to be uncomfortable with it. I think we have very little chance. I won't say no chance of defeating the globalists without divine intervention. I mean, yes, the military could bifurcate and leave the service, and I know they're practicing for that in Texas with UX-16, and I understand all that, but I don't think that enough are going to leave and fight on behalf of the people that we would achieve victory without divine intervention. What do you think? I mean, am I missing something that we could be tapping into other than the Spirit of Jesus to help us? Joe, did I lose you?
Sorry about that. I forgot to press the mute button back. No, what you just said is 100% accurate. We all will need divine intervention to survive what's coming. And it might not come next month, next year, 5 years. It might still be 20 years down the line. It might still be 50 years down the line. But the way things look, at least they want it to appear that it's much closer. And nobody is going to escape it, from what the Bible says. From the end, you know, the mark of the beast, it says all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, will have to get a mark. And, you know, the tribulations that come in the meantime, the from the economic collapses to the food runs and panics, what we see in Venezuela is ongoing, continuing. And it's, you know, what was the statistic I saw? 20% of Venezuelans survive by eating garbage, still waiting 12 hours in lines just to buy, you know, basic essentials they can. Inflation up 716% to 1,600% future inflation within the next 3 months they're looking at. That's a possibility that could happen here, and people don't think it can happen. And when they realize that their power grid, our energy sector, is vulnerable enough to be shut off, to be shut down, our lines of production and goods and services can be disrupted. You know, you talked about a gas shortage. Imagine if there's no gas being pumped and then anywhere around the globe or around the nation. You know, you'd have the movement of goods and services, including food stuff. And how many people can survive off relying only from their local farmers? I bet not many. And there's just simple things we don't think about. Josh Tolley, a radio show host on GCN, is a friend and a guest on our show. And he talks about the Islamic community, how a member of Islam will spend the money at least 16 times within that community before that money leaves. Well, us as Christians, we don't think about money like that. We don't worry about spending money inside of our own, you know, economies, whether they be Christian economies or local economies. And I think that's something that needs to change, because we see, you know, what's gaining power and momentum here. We have this immigration surge being fueled by the government, but what's allowing them the ability to survive, and not only that, but to thrive in times where most Americans aren't doing well at all? And I think it's the sticking together, being a community.
Well, Joe, the one thing I'm wondering here, because you put me in the deep, deep contemplation with your description. On one hand, the powers that be have to know what's coming. But on the other hand, they keep stocking this country filled with people who aren't, who really don't belong here, and they haven't gone through the process of coming here properly. Are they trying to bring in rabble-rousers so when it unfolds, it becomes a lot worse than what it has to be?
You know, absolutely. That is a very real possibility. But, you know, one thing that we can see is just the civil unrest that has come through racial tension and, in the past, class warfare, but racial warfare as of late, is just this general disruption, cities rioting and people out protesting and rioting and looting. And one thing that this huge influx of migrant populations does or can do, especially in times of, we're talking about financial breakdown or just the breakdown of society as we know it, these influx of people who are, you know, receiving assistance from the federal government, their housing, their food possibly from the federal government, when those resources are no longer there to help these people, it's going to add further stress to the system, and it's going to look less like a community, and it will increase the destabilization process so much faster. And, you know, it will be just that much bigger of a vacuum that we see. What's the saying? You should lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We have a lot of people in America in the public sector who work for other corporations, companies, and this is another thing Josh Tully says about working for yourself, learning to do something you love and working for yourself, being an entrepreneur, regardless of what it is that you love to do. It could be anything. We are slaves to our jobs, many people. You know, you go to work, you give your, you know, most of your life's time to this place of employment, and they're offering you less and less in return. And one of the key things, you know, to getting out of that cycle is entrepreneurism. And that's one thing I wanted to mention about the going back to what to do to be a unifying and become a community, a stronger community. And entrepreneurism is one of those things. But yes, the immigration issue that we see here is being fueled by the White House, by the federal government and the powers that be, and the elites don't worry about it because they have, you know, their high mountains, their bunkers, their wherever it is that they hide out or think they're going to be safe, as the Bible says, you know, in the holes in the mountains and underneath the rocks, and they think they'll be fine.
I want your opinion on something. It's something I've described for my listening audience, and I want a professional opinion here, because you deal with this stuff all the time. I live in the middle of nowhere, as you know, and I'm 15 miles basically from anything substantial. And if you go 6 miles west of me, the two-lane road you need to get to my place, dead ends at a place called the Toyota Proving Grounds. And for the last 2 months, virtually 24/7, we've seen cement trucks go in and then them coming out hauling stuff. And we've seen a military presence there twice. One of my neighbors went out and was actually counting trucks, and he was followed home by what we presume to be a security vehicle all the way to his house. At least I think it was all the way to his house, and they had tinted out windows. Not the behavior you think you'd see from a proving ground. The security is extremely tight. What's your guess about what's going on? If you had those variables in front of you and they said, okay, you guys, the Hagmans, you're private detectives, what do you think it is?
Well, that's an interesting scenario you just laid out. It could be a number of things. It could be something nefarious, as, you know, my mind would obviously want to jump to first. But it could be something as simple as the government installing a emergency military communications post, or, you know, some kind of testing the ground and testing the minerals in the ground to see if there's anything that they can mine. There's
stop right there. Let me interrupt you. Stop right there. Pause in mid-sentence. I've had two people write to me. Now, I'm kind of a long timer out here, and I've been here now for over 13 years. But someone wrote to me with more experience, actually two people, and they said, there's uranium 1,000 feet under you. I think you're right.
Yeah. We all, I mean, you wrote about and broke the stories of the Clinton-Russia uranium. Was it Russia and Clinton Foundation uranium land deals that had to do with the Bundy Ranch?
Yeah, yeah. To my neighbors let me put this out. To my neighbors who are listening, resend me your photos as attachments, please, to email. That's interesting. Okay, I'm sorry. I think that's what it is. You hit I was thinking initially FEMA camp. I was thinking underground bunker for safety. Because this is on private property, yet it's in a military governance zone. That's what we've discovered, too.
It could be a storage facility, for ammunition. We know that the different government agencies have bought up over billions of rounds of ammunition, and we have reported ourselves that they've stored them, near different parts of interstates, on ramps, and, anymore with the technology that they have from DARPA to just even the advanced Army stuff is so high tech anymore that there's a million things that they could be doing with magnets, with electronics, with things like HARP, the antenna system, to low frequency energy waves. There are a number of ways that they can hurt us without us even knowing about it in today's day and age.
Yeah, you hit a chord with me because first of all, too, we also sit on the state's largest underground water aquifer, and that's why we thought they wanted us off our land in the first place out here, because we're scheduled to be a Canamex multimodal hub. And I thought, well, okay, that makes sense. But you know what's interesting, though, Joe, is Toyota Proving Grounds also is in a military district. We have maps that show us this.
Interesting.
That's bizarre. Let me give you scenario number two.
District. What does that entail? Is that just that zone for military use, regardless of personal property?
Yes. That was originally the excuse they tried to get us off our land. They said, oh, you're too close to an Air Force base. We got to move you. You should never be allowed to build here. I said, okay, pay us. No, sorry, just got to get off. And, we went through an 8-year battle on this. And essentially what ended up happening was we discovered that we were on a Canamex corridor, and then we started singing this loudly, and we got some support. They backed off. Let me give you scenario number two. We're playing What's My Line, okay? So you get to... Now, you don't know what that show is, but I know your dad does. Sunday nights, this guy would come on, and he would have an occupation, and they got to ask 20 questions and try to figure out what he did. Okay, well, here's the deal. This comes from Christina Sorrow, who's a pretty good researcher. I mean, she really knows what she's doing, and she lives in this little town called Lahana, Colorado. We've had her on the show, and people who've heard this before on the show, there's more, pay attention. They have an old Walmart they've closed, yet they house military equipment there like you wouldn't believe, and then they move it, and then they bring it back, and they're putting advanced enhanced surveillance on there. I mean, I've seen it all. The Jade Helm 15 taught me how to look for that. And then they've opened a Walmart Supercenter walking distance away, and it's in a town where more businesses are closing than are staying open, and less than 10,000 people. And then there's this pickle factory they used to have that lies on railroad tracks, and they're calling it a brewery. But Christina says it's not a brewery, and we've put pictures up on my website about this. Tinted out windows, tinted out SUVs windows, and you can't walk in there. They've hired no one locally for this new brewery, which is unheard of. And so Christina called the economic developer guy for her county, and he hung up on her. And they're right next to railroad tracks. So with those variables, what would you say is going on in La Junta?
Well, I am one of those people who agree that the placement of, abandoned warehouses and activity around railroad tracks can be a very dangerous sign, especially when we're talking about the things that we're talking about, societal collapse, government caused or otherwise. the possibilities of war. The railroad tracks historically serve as purposes of being able to move massive amounts of people, either for evacuations or for executions. And that's the two primary reasons why I would see, or why you would see so much activity, especially near railroad tracks that have no actual working factories and whatnot. And we've seen these. My father and I have actually gone to a few places where, you know, we've seen the weird fencing and the makeshift towers, lookout towers. So, you know, and a lot of people argue that these FEMA camps, and we've seen it even on Jesse Ventura's show, that these will be, you know, helpful for people when there are times of societal collapse or war or natural disasters where they can receive shelter, medical attention, food, and whatnot. And that's what they said in Nazi Germany. So it's all about how much do you trust your government. And sadly, you know, the people who aren't paying attention have a very unhealthy trust of government.
What I've learned here is you're as crazy as I am. Because I think what's in Lahana, what's going in there, is the beginning of a FEMA camp. And I'm real confident in that part. So I think you're just as crazy as I am here. We can put our tinfoil hats on together. Anyway, Joe, what I'd like to do very quickly is to have you talk about your show, The Hagman and Hagman Report, when people can listen, how they can follow your really good work.
Well, thanks, Dave. First of all, folks, our website is HagmanReport.com. That's where we post all of our news and information, content that we talk about on the show. HagmanandHagman.com is our show website where you can find our show information. We're on Monday through Friday right here on Global Star Radio Network, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have a YouTube channel where we broadcast live on YouTube on video each and every day, 7 to 10 p.m. same time. And we simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find our podcast on iTunes or any podcast app. And, you know, we're on apps like SoundCloud, and we are on social media, Facebook, Hagman Report, Twitter, all that good stuff.
And, you're everywhere. You're omnipresent.
Yeah, and, you know, we keep having family work with us, help us, you know, expand our social media presence and expand the website presence, and we continue to find the areas where we're vulnerable and try to strengthen them, and
awesome.
We're moving forward, and we're always looking ahead.
Good. Hey, Joe, we're out of time, my friend. So glad to be partnering with you and your dad here on the Common Sense Show and the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to next week.
Thanks for having me, Dave. God bless you and your listeners, and have a great night.
Thank you. Very quickly, everybody, go up to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com. If you haven't done so, download the Android app. We're toying with the idea of an iPhone. And go to our website. Go to our YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe and to, well, do all that you do. You know what to do there. Okay, we will see you next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless.